we're going to do a talk today called Here We Pray, okay? And I just want to talk about the importance of prayer, really what prayer is, what it isn't, and how you can have a more vibrant prayer life. How many people want a more vibrant prayer life? You're going to have it. I'm telling you now, you will have it after this session, instantaneously, okay? You'll just walk out of here praying. It'll be fantastic. I want to give you a couple of definitions first, because I just think definitions are important. And so before we start, let's pray, and then we'll go right into it, okay? So Holy Spirit, help us to pray. Amen. Told you. Everybody's going to be able to pray after you leave here, because it's quite simple. The definition of prayer is this: to offer devout petition, praise, or thanks to God. If someone were to ask you, what does it mean to pray? By definition, to pray means to offer devout petition, praise, or thanks to God. The other definition for prayer is to enter into spiritual communion with God. So every time we have an opportunity to pray, we are entering into this sacred space where we get to talk to God, not as creator, but as our dad, as our father. And to commune, which is another great word, here's what it means to commune: to converse or talk together, usually with profound intensity or intimacy, an interchange of thoughts or feelings. I'm going to read that definition again. To converse or talk together, usually with profound intensity, intimacy. It's an interchange of thoughts or feelings. When you have the opportunity to pray, it's a conversation that is not one-sided. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. You get to talk. God gets to speak. He gets to speak. You get to speak. He talks. You talk. You talk. He talks. It is a conversation between you and your father. Now, there's some scriptures, and you know I'm going to be heavy on scripture. And so I want you to write these scriptures down. If you have your Bible, I want you to open up your Bibles to these passages. If you are like me, I am a tattoo artist when it comes to my Bible. There's a lot of ink in it that I've placed there. And so my Bible is very heavily tattooed. It is highlighted, and there are a lot of things that I put in there. So here's the first scripture I want you to write down. It's Matthew chapter number 6, verses 5-6. Here's what Jesus says when he begins to talk to his disciples about praying. This is the things that he says prior to him giving us what we know to be the Lord's Prayer: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Here's what he says. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. I love Jesus and how he talks about these people who love to pray publicly. Now I believe in public prayer and praying for each other in community, but we're talking about your own personal private communion with God. We're not talking about intercession. We're not talking about prayer with others. We're just talking about your own private time with God. He said it should be sacred, and it should be something that you take serious enough to shut the door. When it comes down to intimacy, we are really big on making sure that that's a private moment between us and our loved one, and we would shut the door. He's saying, if you're going to have this moment with God, find a private time to do it and shut the door. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter number 14, verses 22 and 23. This is talking about Jesus. He not only says this, but he exemplifies it for us, and the disciples took notice of it. In Matthew chapter number 20, chapter 14, verses 22 and 23, he says, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there all alone. There are many times where Jesus took time to go off alone and just pray and talk to his Father. In Mark chapter number 1, verse number 35, it says this, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. It is good to have some personal quiet time to just talk to God. I love what Matthew begins to break down for us, and I just want to show it to you. Back in chapter number 6, verse number 7, this is one of my favorite passages when it comes to prayer. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like that, verse number 8. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Now, let me read 7 again, because I really need to drive this point home, okay? When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. When you hear me pray, have you noticed that my prayers are short? Anybody notice that beside me? They're pretty short. Have you thought to yourself, wow, that was short. I think he needs to add a little bit more to that. I'm not sure he really got the message across. He's about to preach to a lot of people. He should pray a little bit longer. The reason why I don't do that is because Jesus said, hey, when you pray, don't babble on and on like people of other religions do. He said, basically, get to the point. Have you ever heard somebody pray? And with all sincerity. Now I pay attention. I'm a wordy. I'm a wordsmith. I love words. And so when people are talking, I'm really listening to them. The other thing about me that is personal to me and can be crippling to my friends is that I'm a literalist. And so when you're a literalist, you take people literally. And so when they use terms of endearment or figures of speech, they don't land well with literalists because we're taking you literally and we're like, that's not exactly what you meant. So when somebody says, I'm so hot I could melt, I'm like, oh, that's a skin condition. You should probably go see a doctor. And they're like, I don't mean literally melt, but I'm like, but you said melt. I'm like, so why cheese melts? Why would you melt? If you should get checked, right? So I'm literal in that fashion. When I hear people pray, when they don't get to the point because of what I've read in scripture, I can't concentrate anymore because they've gone off into a bit of a rant of what I like to call the Father Gods. I don't know if anybody has ever heard anybody pray off into the oblivion of Father Gods, but the Father Gods bother me. Because they're filler spaces for words that you don't know what to say. And so you just keep saying Father God, and then it just gets redundant and ridiculous. Here's how it goes. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you today, Father God, because you're awesome, Father God. I'm so grateful for Soul Survivor, Father God. Father God, would you bless everybody, Father God, at Soul Survivor, Father God? Bless them when they come into the session, Father God. And bless them when they go from the session, Father God. Bless them when they go to the concession stands, Father God, and order their food, Father God. I pray that their digestive system, Father God, can handle the pizza and the waffles, Father God, mixed together, Father God, with the extra fudge, Father God, and the icings that they slurp down, Father God. I pray that their bowel movements, Father God, would be healthy, Father God, that they wouldn't be constipated, Father God, that they wouldn't have diarrhea, Father God. And Father God, would you, Father God, just Father God, because Father God, we just love you, Father God, and you're Father God of the Father Gods and the Father Gods of Father Gods, Father Gods, Father Gods. That's all I hear is Father Gods. What was your entire prayer? If we wrote down your, if we transcribed your entire prayer and removed all the Father Gods, it would be as short as my prayer when I got to the point. But what happens is, because we're not concentrating on the prayer, we just start praying and just start saying the same thing over and over again as if he doesn't hear us the first time. And my question is, where else would this work for you? If you went to Macker's, would you walk up to the person and say her name was Rebecca and say, Rebecca, oh, Rebecca. Rebecca, I would like a Big Mac, Rebecca. And Rebecca, could I also have fries, Rebecca? Rebecca, please, could I have fries with my Big Mac, Rebecca? And Rebecca, oh, Rebecca, could I also have with my Big Mac, Rebecca, and my fries, Rebecca, an apple pie, Rebecca, and a medium drink, Rebecca? Oh, Rebecca. Rebecca, please, Rebecca, 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 please. Rebecca, 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 Rebecca. Please, Rebecca. Would you please? Would you please? No, you can do it, Rebecca. You're already behind the cashier, Rebecca. You can already see the picture of the Big Mac, Rebecca. Just press it, Rebecca. With the fries, Rebecca, and the pie, Rebecca, and my medium drink, Rebecca. Rebecca doesn't even know you. And she's like, stop. I heard you the first time. God does know you. So why would you talk to him like he's a stranger? That's not how my kids talk to me. I have two beautiful boys. They're so yummy. They're ridiculously cute. Their mom has a lot to do with that. Not me. I have one child who is 10 years old. He is gorgeous. He is. He has a chocolate skin tone and eyelashes that would make every female in here envious. He just came out of the womb with mascara on. Bang. Okay. They're beautiful. And then I have a 7-year-old boy who is mocha complected. And never have they come to me in the morning and said, Daddy, oh, Daddy, oh, Daddy, I want breakfast, Daddy. And I believe you for breakfast, Daddy. Oh, Daddy, 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 I know you can serve me breakfast, Daddy. I've seen you do it before, Daddy, yesterday, Daddy. I saw you make me a sandwich, Daddy. My favorite peanut butter and jelly sandwich, Daddy. And I would like cereal, Daddy. Daddy. No, they just come up to me and say, Dad, we're hungry. We want breakfast. And I go, okay, let's get something. They don't beg me because I'm their dad. I think a lot of people talk to God not as a father. They talk to him like he's a stranger that they're hoping to get the attention of instead of a dad that they already have the attention of. Here's what Jesus is saying. I'm going to teach you how to pray, but if you're going to pray, I don't want you to babble. Just get to the point. You can see when he prays for people to be healed, when he does all of this stuff, he prays very simple prayers. When he gets ready to raise Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 years, from the dead, here's what he says. He walks up and he goes, Father, I thank you that you're with me and that you're going to do this miracle. I'm only praying out loud for them, but you're going to get the glory. Thank you. Turns to Lazarus and goes, Lazarus, come forth. 3 words. And the guy just pops out of the grave and starts hopping out. Right? He didn't go, oh, God, heal him. Come on, God, heal him. It's not a dice game. Jesus, bang. Right? He's practical. And when he has his private moments with God, he goes away in private and he talks to him. No more is this evident than in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he takes Peter, James, and John with him up to this, down to this point where he can go pray. He says, you all stay here. He goes a little bit further and he hits his knees and he makes a simple request. Father, if it's possible, please take this cup from me. But if it's not my will, yours be done. That was the whole prayer. Scripture says he prayed it 3 times, not 33 times, not 333 times. He made a simple request 3 times and then figured, I guess if you're not going to answer me, I guess I'll just do it. Prayer is supposed to be simple and it's supposed to be intimate. So I have 4 points that I want you to write down because, you know, I like points. And I want to show you some people in the Bible and show you some statements in the Bible that I hope anchor how you'll see prayer. So point number one, please write this down. And here's what I want you to put at the header of it. When I talk to God, ... If you're taking notes, all my nerds, because remember in 3 days' time, this would be your teaching and you can go talk to anybody you want to about it and they'll think you're a genius. Okay. When I talk to God, ... Point number one, I find out what to do. When I talk to God, I find out what to do. Would you say that with me? When I talk to God, I find out what to do. Again, when I talk to God, I find out what to do. One more time now. When I talk to God, I find out. Hey, okay. I just thought that had a little bounce to it. I wanted to put that out there. Here's what it says in Acts chapter number 10. I'm going to read you 16 verses, but I want you to see the story in the context of it so you can have an understanding. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain in the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. If you have a Bible and you can tattoo that, please underline that. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. You see how this is bookended? Cornelius was praying, had a vision, and then Peter went up to pray on top of a roof. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its 4 corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord, Peter declared, I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. But the voice spoke again, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. The same vision was repeated 3 times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Now, let me explain what was going on here because it's awesome. 2 guys in different parts of town were praying. God spoke to both of them and then set up a meeting for them to get together. Now, here's what's awesome about that. What we find in Acts chapter number 10 is Pentecost for the Gentiles. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the Gentiles. In Acts chapter number 2, the day of Pentecost hits, the Holy Spirit falls. Those were all Jewish people in that moment. There were no Gentiles present. So you flash forward now a few more chapters, and in chapter number 10, an Italian guy, any Italians in the room? An Italian guy, hello Italian, an Italian guy is the first person who's praying and gets a word from the Lord to figure out what needs to be done. He says, I want you to invite a guy named Peter to your house. Peter is a Jewish man that by custom would never be in a Gentile's house. But when Peter goes to pray, God says, I want you to go to this guy's house, and they meet together, and they find out that the same Holy Spirit that infilled the Jewish people wanted to infill Gentiles as well. And that's when the Holy Spirit really started to flood the earth. All nations were going to be redeemed and be empowered with this same Spirit. When we pray, we find out what to do. How many people, by a show of hands, are in a season of your life when you're trying to figure out what to do? That's awesome. I'm 43 years old. I'm still trying to figure out what to do, which means we need to pray. Now, praying is wonderful because it calibrates you. I'm not saying that when the next time you have a prayer time, you're going to get the next 20-year roadmap for your life. But you will have enough peace to know that there is purpose, a calling, and a plan that God has for you, even if you can't see what's going to be happening in the next 12 months. I just prayed for a young man two nights ago. He said, hey, listen, I don't know what I'm going to be doing over the next 12 months of my life. Would you pray for me? I said, absolutely. And my prayer was, hey, Lord, he doesn't know what's going to be happening over the next 12 months of his life, but you do. So would you please make him so sensitive to your Holy Spirit that every single day that he lives over the next 12 months, he would be moving closer to the purpose and plan that you have for his life. He thanked me and we went bye-bye. I didn't have to pray for him for 30 minutes. Oh, Lord, show him, Lord. Show him, Lord. And let's just be silent for a minute and just see if God is showing you anything. It's 12 months from now. I don't even know where I'll be in 12 months. Hope alive. Outside of that, I just want to be in God's purpose. So we prayed about it, and God would show us what he wants to do. Here's point number two. Write this down. When I talk to God, I find out what not to do. When you talk to God, you can find out what to do. And sometimes you can talk to God and he will tell you what not to do. Anybody in here by a show of hands need to know what not to do because sometimes you don't know what to do. Here's what it says in Acts chapter number 16, verses 25 through 34. This is so cool. I love this story. Okay. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God and the other prisoners were listening. Let me stop right there. Paul and Silas are in prison. Right? They're in prison right now. I just want you to get that in your mind. These two guys are in jail, okay? It's midnight. They're praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted at him, stop! Don't kill yourself! We are all here! He shouted, so I shouted. The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. Let me set this up for you. Let's just say all of us get thrown in prison tonight. We're all in prison, okay? None of us want to be there. We get jailed for our faith and we're all in prison, okay? And we just decide, like we've been doing sometimes in our general sessions, to just spontaneously break out in worship. Maybe we start singing, "What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is." We start singing, "The name of Jesus Christ, our King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing can stand to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus." And while we're singing that, the earth starts shaking. An earthquake comes while we're singing this song, and all the jail doors pop open. Anybody have an idea what I'd be thinking in this moment? Thank you, Jesus, for opening the jail doors. You must want us to leave. Woohoo! Freedom! Right? I'm like, all of Soul Survivor. We sang a worship song, the earthquake shook, and the jail doors popped open. This must be a sign from God that he wants us to leave. Let's wrap it up. Let's get back to Soul Survivor. Because we have to have our fancy dress party. Right? Jesus, you must have wanted us out of the jail cell. You popped the doors open. It's time for us to go. While they're praying and while they're singing, this event happens. And the jailer is like, oh, my goodness, all the prisoners have escaped. I'm going to kill myself. And Paul makes this statement that I think a lot of people ignore in scripture. He goes, don't kill yourself. Stop it. We're all here. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, turn on the lights. Do roll call. We're all still here. Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You guys were singing worship songs, right? Uh-huh. And then the earth shook, right? Uh-huh. And then the prison doors popped open. Yep. And you didn't run? Nope. Why didn't you run? Well, I was praying and the Lord told me not to. I was questioning it myself. I thought it was about to be the most incredible escape plan ever. Just write a worship song, sing it, and get out. And then I prayed about leaving, and the Lord was like, no, stand here. And I was like, but the door's open. Like, why would I stay if the door's open? He's like, no, I want to do something great. But it won't be great if you leave. When you have an intimate relationship with God, he'll tell you what not to do. And sometimes what not to do goes against your instinct of what you would rather do. Anybody been in that situation beside me where God might tell you, go apologize to that person. And you're like, but I didn't do anything. Why do you want me to apologize? They're the ones that were, they were the ones being offensive. They're the ones that betrayed me. They're the one. And he's like, no, just go apologize. And you're like, that's Satan. That can't be the Holy Spirit telling me to apologize. I did nothing wrong. And the Holy Spirit's like, no, this is probably me. I don't sound like Satan. I don't tell you to do stuff like repent and apologize. And then you do it and something phenomenal happens. Here's what happens because they don't leave the prison. The jailer and everybody in his house get saved. Because they heard from the Lord of what not to do. So when you pray, we find out what to do. The same way Cornelius and Peter did. And we find out what not to do. Paul and Silas did. Point number three. Write this down. When I talk to God, I remember what he has done. When I talk to God, I remember what he has done. This one's very, very important to me. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6 says this. I hope this scripture will encourage somebody today. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Let me just stop right there and say, you can pray about everything. Everything. Not just, God, what's the purpose and call of my life? Not just, God, we're asking you for a miracle in this area. You can pray about everything. Pray about everything. Relationships. God, do you want me to be with this person? I'm gonna tell you a great story of how my dad wound up with my mom. They've been married now for 44 years. And here's how my dad wound up with my mom. He was with another woman named Lynn before he met my mother, whose name is Maxine. And he thought he was going to marry this woman named Lynn. And he went to his father, my grandfather, and he said, Daddy, I'm really in love with Lynn, and I want you to pray over our relationship that God would just confirm the relationship for us to get married and bring our hearts together so that we can get married and bring our bodies together and produce babies. Okay? He didn't say it quite like that, but that's what he meant. He was a young man. Okay. So he goes to my grandfather. My grandfather, his full name is Enoch Elijah Ross. Now, when your first two names, your first name and your middle name is like a man that walked with God and then just evaporated, just went up. And then another man who walked with God and like a whirlwind came and scooped him up. Then you must be destined for like deep prayers. Enoch Elijah Ross. Got a guy that walked with God and just disappeared with God. And another guy that got caught up in a whirlwind with God. This guy must be deep. So he goes to my grandfather, Enoch Elijah Ross. I just love saying his name, okay? He goes to my grandfather and he goes, Dad, would you pray for us? We want to get married. And are you ready for my grandfather's prayer? You think it runs in the family. He goes, I'll pray for you guys. Come here. Come close. Puts his hand on both of their shoulders. Looks up to heaven. He said, God, if you want them to get married, let it happen. And if you don't, break them up. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was his prayer. 2 weeks later, they broke up. He met Maxine, got married. Hi, I'm here. You doing all right? Good to see you. This is, pray about everything. You're dating that person. Oh, they're so cute. Just ask God. God, if this is going to be my spouse, let it work out. And if not, bust it up. And here's the thing. Don't be shocked by his answer. I've had plenty of people. I did young adult ministry for 4 years and did over 2,000 hours of counseling. I have a bootleg PhD with young adults and young people. And they would come in there, well, I love this person. I'd be like, great, would you like me to pray? They're like, yes. And Enoch Elijah Ross, who gave Charles Edward Ross the prayer, gave it to Timothy Charles Ross. And I would stand there, put my hands on their shoulders, look up to heaven. I'm going to pray over your relationship. I believe God's brought you together for something. We don't know exactly what it is, but I'm going to pray. And they're like, yes, give me the prayer. God, if you want this to happen, let it happen. If you don't, break them up. Amen. And they look up at me like, really? I'm not sure. No, I actually don't like your prayer. I would like you to do that. I would like a redo. I would like a more sanctified prayer, something with more substance. Talk to something maybe that suggests to God that we really want to get together. I'm like, no, why? If it's God, it will happen. If it's not, he'll break it up. And you need to be happy either way. I can't begin to tell you. I've been married to my wife, Juliet, who's the finest woman breathing on the planet. She is 5'4¼", half Jamaican, half Bahamian, super fine and all mine. I really like her a lot. But I think back to some other girls that I liked, and all I can do is go, oh, thank you, Jesus. You are amazing. You are a keeper.
thank you for breaking that relationship up, because I would have gone crazy with that person. The only person that can handle my special crazy is Juliet. And I'm the only person that can handle her special crazy. Pray about everything. You can pray about a test you're about to take, as long as you studied. Don't pray the prayer if you haven't studied, okay? Don't do that. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Remember, point number three, when I pray, okay, when I get the opportunity to pray, when I talk to God, I remember what he has done. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. I am really cool on praying for stuff, praying for the needs of my family, praying for the needs of loved ones, praying for the needs of people in our church community. But I love to thank God for the things he's already done. When you pray, when you have that private time with God, don't make it a laundry list of just things that you need fixed. Also, as a reminder to yourself and a display of affection and gratitude to God, go over the things that he's already done. I've seen people get into some real bad prayer moments where it's not even a prayer anymore. It's just kind of like a venting session. You're just kind of dumping all of your frustrations. It's because you don't include this element of just thanking God for what he's already done. Take the time, no matter what you're going through in this season of your life, and go, God, I know this season is kind of crazy, but God, I thank you for what you did in 2014. I thank you for how you made a way for me. I thank you for how you've been provision. I thank you how in 2017, when I thought I was going crazy, you calmed my mind and you gave me inspiration. You gave me a friend who would listen. You gave me encouragement. Thank him for the things he has done. Last but not least, we're ending with a point that gives a scripture that is as short as my prayers, which I love. And here's the point. When I talk to God, I am reminded to never stop. When I talk to God, I'm reminded to never stop. There's a real, real beautiful scripture. I love scriptures that have just, you know, two words, three words. This one has three, and I just think it's great. And it's my admonishment and my encouragement to you as we close. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says this simply, never stop praying. Never stop praying. How many people in here have a cell phone? How many people in here like calling more than texting? You would rather, you know, I just want to hear your voice real quick, okay? I want you to imagine that you have a phone separate from the phone you already have. You have a phone, and the only number that is locked into that phone is your dad's number, your Heavenly Father, God. My question to you, and you could call him anytime you want. He would answer anytime you called. He doesn't have a voicemail set up. He doesn't have text messages. He's just like, call me anytime, I'll pick up. Morning, noon, or night, 24/7, you can just call me, I'll pick up. How often would you use that phone? That question. How often would you use that phone? Pretty often? Listen, never stop praying. You don't have to wait until you get into a session to pray. You don't have to wait until you get in the mood to pray. When you pray, you're talking to God. I'm staying at a hotel that's within walking distance of this venue, and I had a nice little chat with God on the way here yesterday about some things that I'm going through in my life right now. Anybody beside me, you love your salvation, but you find some stuff in you that you're like, this is ugly, Lord. Deal with that. I don't,
I don't even like that I do that. Why do I even think that? It's ridiculous, right? So I'm having a conversation with God on the way here yesterday. I'm having my prayer time. I have a phone with my daddy's number in it, and he'll answer anytime. He's never busy. He doesn't have voicemail. He'll answer and pick up every time. So I'm just walking, and I'm talking to him, and the whole conversation is about me. And at the end of it, I'm like, you know what? I've told you a lot about me, and I'm crazy and a mess, and you love me anyway, and I really appreciate it. But you know what? You're really good. Like, oh, boy, you're really good. The fact that you love me, wow. I love you, too. But, man, sometimes I don't love me as much as you love me. I just really appreciate you. You know what? You're a really good dad. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Because you have to say it like that if you're going to sing it. You need the second R. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. Am. Have to have the second am or it's not the song, right? You have a direct connection to God the Father any time you want. And you don't have to wait for a reason to call your dad. You can talk to him at any given moment, and it will be a moment that's cherished by him and you. So here we pray. And I want us to end in a moment of prayer. I'm going to pray, but I want you to pray. How about we do it this way? This is great. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How about we just all pick up the phone and call our dad at the same time? Let's just see if the phone gets jammed. See if anybody gets a busy signal. That's a joke. You're not going to get a busy signal. But I just want you to take the last, not even long, 30, 45 seconds. Just have a moment where you bow your head and say a prayer to your dad. Let's do that now.